Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northland International University. And Doc, we are about to wrap up another year of the broadcast as we come to the end of 2009 and we get ready to go into 2010 as we continue to serve the Lord and wait for His coming. And I just got thinking about this year and really looking back as we think through how we began the year and how we're ending the year. And the thing that keeps coming back to my mind as we've been talking is that this has not been a sprint. This has been a prolonged race. This has been more like a marathon than it's been like a sprint. And how do you get ready for the beginning of a new year? Sometimes I get ready and I think I'm getting a brand new year, 365 more days, and I handle it more like I would handle a sprint, a 440-yard dash, rather than a marathon.
Well, you look at the analogies that Paul used and how often he referred to the race.
Mm-hmm.
And that race then was in reference to that marathon, that 26.3-mile marathon that would be run. And it's showing the endurance that is necessary. Noted this year, they had a marathon. It was not a 26-mile. I think it was a 15-mile marathon in Detroit. And three people died.
Wow.
In that race. And obviously, they must have had some pre-existing conditions or something was overlooked in pace or hydration or something. I don't know what all of the issues were, but it's unusual for three people to die in one marathon. And sometimes when we get in the race, we think we are going to die. We think, how long is this going to last? And as you say, if we approach it as a sprint, we are going to find ourselves running out of energy very quickly. And when Paul made the analogy in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he makes the reference quite clear that we are to run with patience the race that is set before us. And that is a great analogy of how we need to approach this coming year. I read a while back in the Stewardship Strategies magazine an article by John C. Maxwell called The Marathon Mindset. And I thought there were some excellent thoughts that so fit the Christian race. How do we adopt a marathon mindset?
Mm.
Not a dash, but a marathon mindset.
Mm-hmm.
How do we prepare life, as Paul was talking about, run with patience the race, so run that ye may obtain. Mm-hmm. I therefore so run. Philippians 2, holding forth the word of life, that ye may rejoice in the day of Christ, that you have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
You know, that's actually a good metaphor for life, not just for the year, but for life. And, you know, you handed me a little history of the Greek marathon. You know, we get our modern-day marathon from a Greek marathon that was originally run in a time of great conflict. And it's been very interesting just to kind of peruse. Let me just take a minute to acquaint our listeners with that idea. You know, the marathon actually began, I didn't know this, it actually began in the 4th century as the Greek army encountered the Persian army in battle. And the Greeks were hopelessly outnumbered, actually, I think 4-1, and went into battle. But really, at the end of that struggle, they had surprisingly won the battle. And they wanted to send word back to their folks back in Greece and let them know about the battle. And so one man, a soldier named Pheidippides, was singled out to take the news back to Athens. And really, with a determination and a ton of zeal, Pheidippides began running toward the capital city, which was 26.3 miles away, which is what the modern-day marathon length is.
Yeah, that was the beginning of that, and that was 4th century B.C., before Christ.
Yeah, and so apparently he ran and never stopped. He never flagged. He didn't even stop to eat or drink anything. He came back into Athens and announced the victory, and immediately after announcing the victory, he collapsed and died. And, you know, here we are 2,500 years later, still running marathons in honor of Pheidippides' accomplishment. But Maxwell went on to say, as great as the accomplishment was, perhaps Pheidippides could have avoided the fate if he had paced himself and he had prepared to running the marathon. It's not just completing the marathon, in other words, it's surviving. It's living to run again. And I think that's really what you're talking about as we come to the end of a year. It's not just surviving the end of a year. It's literally the goal is to live the year in such a way that we can live another year after it.
Right, and we find the strength in Christ. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But Paul making allusion to this Olympic marathon race and the last Olympics held in Athens in the 04 Summer Olympics, we saw this race rerun and in its original place. And that was quite an analogy. And there are six parts of a marathon mindset. And as we go through these things, I believe we will see some helpful things for how we prepare to face this coming year with patience. How do we do this as we look at maintaining a right balance so that we do not collapse, we do not quit, but we finish strong to the end, looking, stretching toward that finish line, looking for that upward calling till Christ calls us home.
So how do you prepare for that kind of a race? I mean, where do you start out?
Well, number one, Maxwell points out, see the whole race. In other words, that is a principle of vision. Where are you going? Do you know what your purpose is in life? What direction are you going? Because vision empowers the process and motivates yourself and motivates others to go and say what Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind, pressing forth unto that which is before, I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What was that? Paul had a vision for the entire race, right to the time when he would stand at the bema for the crowning of the running of that race.
So what are some ways maybe that you would advise somebody to catch the vision for the whole race in terms of a year?
Well, number one, sit down and say, God, what do you have for me in priorities for this year? Number one, we have to know that if I'm going to maintain the race, I'm going to have to maintain the right diet. I'm going to have to get the right breathing system. I'm going to have to get my Bible study life. I'm going to have to get my prayer life in control. I have to get some written down goals of what do I want. What is going to be my passion for the lost? What is going to be my ministry to within the body of believers? What is going to be my ministry to the lost? Am I going to have a goal to hand out X number of gospel tracts? Am I going to have a goal to be faithful to every single service that the church is having? Am I going to get a determination to see the entire race at the beginning? And it's, I like what my son said when he was preaching a message one time. He said, a lot of Christians live like the coin toss. Winning the coin toss is the end. In other words, he said, how many times you go to a Packer game and the Packers win the coin toss, and lo and behold, the crowd goes berserk like the game is over. No, the coin toss is only the beginning of the game. And that's a little minor victory that you have won.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at the picture of life, I have used this at commencements a couple times. And I said, this is your step tonight is the coin toss. Now the game begins. You are now looking to the rest of your life. What are you seeing? What is your vision? See, Lot lifted his eyes and saw well-watered plains. Very, very limited vision. God lifted Abram's gaze. See, the vision that Abram had was an eternal vision. It was a vision that was vertical. Lot's whole vision was horizontal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if we're going to see the whole race, we have to see a vision that is vertical first and let God assign the horizontal portions
of it. Yeah, and that comes back to what does God have for me this next year?
It also means I have to be ready for the obstacles that will be there. I have to have a mindset there will be obstacles. Not if I hit an obstacle, well, so much for that.
And I already know what some of the obstacles were based on what I hit this year. And I know where the pressure points. I know that if this year is anything like last year, there's going to be certain pressure points that come that I'm going to need extra strength and I'm going to need extra preparation. I'm not going to get as much sleep in these particular weeks because of the way life is.
Right. I feel like many years ago, for my own mental stability, I had to learn to look way down the road. Not at now. You function now, but you focus down the road. Because if I only function and I do not have a long-term focus, every obstacle that I hit is going to crash my function. But if my focus is way down the road, and which is where we need to be when we're looking unto Christ, that the obstacles in our functions do not stop us. They only give us another step of planning and where there's a diversion, you get back on the main highway. But that has to be a long-term goal, because if I don't see myself in light of Bema, if I don't see myself in light of the fact that God is giving these opportunities that are there, and it's down the road, I will make bad decisions during pressure times.
Yeah.
And if I don't see light ahead with patience running the long term, if I don't see the finish line, I will be easily knocked out of the race.
So I've got to have vision for the whole race. And what's the other thing I need to do?
Commitment to prepare. Next thing is commitment to preparation, where you say, okay, there's a race coming. What am I going to do to prepare for that race? If I am going to run a marathon, I have to start now with steps in preparation for that. Good intentions are not enough.
Mm.
Well, I'm going to run a marathon. Oh, you are? What are you doing now? Well, nothing. I'm not doing anything right now. I'm just planning that race. No, you start, you get up, you train, you say no to the things that you would enjoy, and you start your 5 mile, then you work up to your 10 mile, and then you work up to your 15 mile, and you have a preparation. If there's no commitment, there will be no preparation. In other words, if I'm just in this race, I'm just carried along, and I'm not committed to anything, there will be no reason to prepare for anything along the line.
And you've got to prepare in all kinds of different areas of your life. For example, like if you've got children at home, your children are going to be 1 year older by the end of next year.
Yes.
And it's going to happen whether you're prepared or not. So you've got to think through, okay, what do I need to build into them this year based on what they're going to be going through and where they're going to be at the end of the year?
Yeah, and then you set up a plan that makes that happen. I remember when I spoke to a high school team, it was a Class C team going down to the Michigan Class C championship. And I said, how do you win championships? You don't win championships dreaming about banners and trophies. You win championships one play at a time. The most important thing happening at that time is that play. And next thing you know, there's a banner. Next thing you know, there's a trophy in the trophy cabinet. And how did it happen? One play at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And when the team went down, played in the Pontiac Silver Dome, won the Class C state championship. And a coach sent word back to me and said, tell Les, we won the state championship one play at a time. But they had the vision.
And that's true in all of our lives and in every area of our lives. And I hope that these broadcasts will be an encouragement to you to do that. And perhaps you can share them with others as well. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.